So we turn to Philippians chapter 4, and one of the reasons that we're coming here today, rather than in our next series of Numbers, it was kind of a good time to take a break. There's a bit of a transition in Numbers and in Matthew tonight. It kind of worked out where it's a good time where we can take a break, and there's continuity, but there's a bit of a change in the story. But mainly, it's been a challenging week. There's just been a lot of things I've had to attend to for the family. We had the extra events with church. One of the things I forgot about was we had basketball camp Tuesday through Wednesday, and the drive time is long, and then it was supposed to be 1 hour, but they switched the way they're doing it, so then I'm there an extra hour, which means I have a lot longer commute back, as some of you are familiar with coming from that direction. So it just got to be where I lost a lot of time, and there were some things that I had deadlines on. I had to get done for things for the children with the state and stuff. So, and then I ended up having jury duty. I didn't think I was have to go in. Thankfully, I didn't get selected. Maybe I shouldn't say thankful. I would consider it a privilege to serve, but I shouldn't blame it exactly. I got a lot of research done for Numbers and Matthew while I was there for hours. So I actually got a lot accomplished. But the way it went with our harvest dinner this week, and a number of things I had to take care of, it's going to be helpful for me to do a thematic sermon again today. Also, I think it'll be helpful as we have door-to-door evangelism after the morning service. And I'd like to actually have our longer Lord's Supper tonight. The goal is to have I know I can never promise it. Sometimes I think it will be. But the goal is that we'll have a briefer message and more time to get out for the Lord's to door-to-door in the Lord's Supper tonight. That's why we're coming here. My hope is we'll be returning to Numbers and Matthew next week. So don't get used to this again, but I trust the Lord has a plan for it. What I thought would be good to do also is to prepare for Thanksgiving service this Thursday, our annual Thanksgiving worship service. So I'm picking a text for the morning and for the evening that will hopefully prepare us and prime the pump to approach the Lord with Thanksgiving in our Thanksgiving service. Philippians 4. Verse 6 is our text. Hear now the word of God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me read that again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Well, in our harvest feast, we focused for our devotion this Friday on the Directory for Public Worship of God. It was interesting to revisit the fact that they actually have in the Directory for Worship instructions about having a Thanksgiving service. And that was helpful to remember. You know, we who don't do the holy days, quote unquote, of the liturgical calendar year often can be asked, well, then why do you have a Thanksgiving service? Well, we revisited, because it's very biblical to do such a thing, including as a nation. And in fact, the Directory for the Public Worship of God that was part of the original package with the Westminster Standards that we have and use and refer to has a section at the end. I would also note, as we did Friday, right before a section on singing of psalms, directions about how to do a Thanksgiving service. And thankfully we noticed we're pretty much doing it like they say, but I'm going to spend extra time looking at it. I would point this out. They do not have directions on having a Christmas service. They do not have directions on having an Easter service or any other thing like that. They do have instructions on preaching. They do have instructions even on ordination. They do have instructions on the sacraments. And other things, but the only special service outside of a Sabbath service they give any kind of explicit instructions on and direction is on Thanksgiving. So that's pretty neat to see, and I want us to remember that, because we're going to think about how they say we ought to prepare for the Thanksgiving service. We ought to be preparing ourselves as we do for the Lord's Supper. We also looked at the fact that the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 21, which is on worship and the Sabbath day, notice not holy days, but worship and the Sabbath day, in section 5 of chapter 21, it does recognize that thanksgivings upon special occasions are, in their several times and seasons, to be used and in holy and religious manner. So even our confession of faith recognizes there's a place for Thanksgiving services. That is a biblical thing. And we won't look at the scriptures that for now that point that out, but recognize it's in the standards there. Then in the Westminster Larger Catechism 104, we revisited that, what are duties required in the first commandment? What's the first commandment? Remember, by the way, no other gods. You shall have no other gods before me. What is one of the duties that is required of that commandment? Giving all praise and thanks to God. We are commanded. It is required that we would have grateful hearts for the grace we've been given in Jesus Christ. The text that most of those references give for thanksgiving and thanksgiving services and to give thanks to God is our text today, Philippians 4, verse 6. That's the verse that keeps coming up. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul says in this verse, to be nervous about nothing. And how do you do that? He says, be nervous about nothing. How? By using anxiety's antidote, thankful prayer about everything. That's the general idea of the text. Paul says to be nervous about nothing, using anxiety's antidote, thankful prayer about everything. Notice, prayer. But not just any kind of prayer, or rather, prayer that is not without a very important thing. The giving of thanks. Thanksgiving. Make sure that if you are going to pray, that you pray with thanksgiving. Beloved, this Thursday, may it not be Turkey Day for us, although let's enjoy the turkey and thank God for it. May it not be other things, although on not being the Sabbath, I do plan to enjoy a little football, but let it all be mainly to offer thanks to God. It was interesting when we read in the Directory of Public Worship, if there's a national day of Thanksgiving, church and state, there's a morning service. Well, there's at least two services, it would seem, they say. And then let the minister tell them when they go out to spend themselves in a special way. Also, by the way, notice not gluttony. And that they come back prepared for another service. Well, we don't have a second service on Thanksgiving. I'm not necessarily trying to argue that we would. But the idea is that let the whole day be truly one of giving thanks to God. You know, we have our traditions, and the traditions aren't even necessarily bad. But we need to make sure we have the main tradition of what the point of Thanksgiving was for in our nation. To give thanks to God for preserving and protecting us when we should have perished. He and not without many casualties, but the Lord prepared, the Lord provided, the Lord preserved, and he built the nation out of the Puritans, out of the Pilgrims, as we know it. We still benefit from it, though we turn our backs on so much of what they stood for as a nation and as a church very often. This Thursday, may we truly be offering thanks to God. May we prepare ourselves all week for Thursday. Let's not just come to it because we do it all the time. It's every year what we do. No, let's really be coming to give thanks, because God will know the difference and ultimately we'll end up knowing the difference. May we come truly to offer thanks and to be careful for nothing. Therefore, let us have a care to prepare to be thankful. That's the message for you today, thinking of the Thanksgiving service, thinking of even how you're about to approach God in worship, how you're going to go out and how you're going to come back for the evening service tonight. Another message on Thanksgiving. A big part of how much you'll actually respond and to be thankful is if you prepare yourself to be thankful. Prepare to be thankful. You see, life is how you look at things, by looking at the Lord. Life is how you look at things, by looking at the Lord. So Jesus says to us in Matthew 6, behold the birds. Look at the lilies. Really practical advice. Go look at my creation And notice how I take care of them. Or in Matthew 11 last week, God doesn't miss one of the sparrows that falls to the ground. He's there, and so he's there with you who are faithfully preaching and receiving his preaching faithfully. Look at those things. Think about them instead of what you want to think about and worry about. You see, Jesus seeks to distract us from worry with wonder. Take no thought, he says, Matthew 6, verse 25. He says that quite a few times, actually, in Matthew 6. Take no thought. It's the same Greek word, remember, in our text in Philippians 4, verse 6 today. Be careful. That is, for nothing. Same word that Paul is using. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. And to do that, you've got to replace your thinking with other thinking. The message for you on Matthew 6 of that section was, keep changing the way you think. The way you don't worry, the way you fight anxiety, the way you stop letting it ruining you, soul and body, is to keep changing what you think about. The way you think about things, predominantly by what you choose to let yourself think about and then how you think about them. Keep your mind off some matters by meditating on what and who matters most. And so look at the end of verse 5 here. The Lord is at hand. How can he tell us to rejoice always? And say it again, rejoice. How can he tell us not to worry about things? The Lord is at hand. God is at hand. If you have God, you have everything. If you have God, you have nothing. The Lord is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand in the King Jesus Christ who has come. Meditate on the kingdom of heaven. As Paul says in Colossians 3, think on things above, not on earthly things. Focus on God's creation so you focus on your Creator and remember him as your Father. Matthew 6, the context is, remember you have a heavenly Father. Pray to your heavenly Father. Pray with gratitude. Get your mind off of these other things. Get your mind off of yourself. Change what you're thinking. Change who you're thinking about. And so in our text, Paul similarly contrasts nothing and all things with the word but. Don't have a care for these things, but in all things be praying to God. Look at things differently by looking at different things. And he shows us how to do that. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Notice, virtue that would lead to what? Praise. What is regularly connected with thanks, even in our psalms that we sing. Regularly, what is brought up with the word thanks? Praise. So if you're going to be thankful, you're going to affect how you feel, then you go to God with thanksgiving by thinking on certain things that help you do that. You choose not to think about this, and you instead choose to think about this. You see, the anxiety, anxiety focuses on what? Yeah, self. I was going to go there, but I was going to say things first, but that's what I have, self, in my notes. Self. Anxiety focuses always on self. Even if it's all the things that we think are going around us, it's really thinking we're the center of the universe about them. Anxiety focuses on self. The antidote, therefore, to anxiety, Paul says, is to focus on God. The reality is we are not focusing on God when we are anxious. And nobody really likes the experience emotionally or physically of anxiety. So we need to immediately get our thoughts off ourselves and focus on God. Let's forget ourselves, forget about ourselves, concentrate on Him and worship Him. Let us be drawn out of ourselves by drawing near to God. Instead of being scared, be in prayer. Psalm 121, another thing we often talk about. I need to change what I'm thinking about. I need to change what I'm looking at, what I'm focusing on. I need to behold the birds. I need to look at the lilies. I need to marvel at the mountains. I really appreciate Mount Miguel. There's not a place in San Diego I can't look at it. Also always reminds me where my house is and my home is. Wherever I am, and often when I'm driving, I can look at the mountain, or if I'm up a little further north, there's plenty of mountains to look at, but especially here in Chula Vista, I can always look at the mountain. I can always refocus. I can always reset my thoughts. I look to the mountain. Faith can move mountains. I lift mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. And let that marveling at the mountains take you up to the rock of Jesus Christ. Psalm 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I preached on that when we got back almost this time last year from being in Yosemite, lamenting the loss of Jennifer. And it was helpful to get close to those big, huge granite rocks and put my own self and my own life in perspective by the transcendent experience of God's transcendence in His mighty, magnificent creation. And I think I know who have a picture of El Capitan with that very verse hanging in our bathroom at the church. Because all the time I'm memorizing it. All the time. And you know, I used to always struggle to remember which psalm it was. I always had to look it up. I don't know why. And I can tell you right now, Psalm 61, verse 2. And I can tell it. I can speak it by memory. Why? Because it's right there before me all the time. Which is helpful, right? That's what we looked at last week. Have these visual reminders. Well, don't we need help and a reminder to stop being focusing on ourselves and killing ourselves with it? Instead, living the abundant life of Christ by focusing on Him. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I when my heart is overwhelmed. What Psalm 42 talks about. Two times and then Psalm 43 right after. That's an important refrain for a reason. Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. I will yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. It's not saying you don't have problems. That's the context of most of the Psalms. But it's saying, where am I going to go with that? What am I going to do with it? I'm going to take myself up to the rock of Jesus Christ. The antidote for anxious thinking is prayerful meditation. But it's not going to happen. The antidote isn't going to happen without happiness. You might say, well, wait a minute. Isn't this how I get happy? No, you have to get happy first. Live life looking at God in all things through the lens of thanksgiving. Or you could say, if it's a spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down, don't miss the part that you've got to have the spoon. You know, the spoon is thanksgiving. You spoon up prayer. You spoon up God's goodness and blessing and getting yourself off anxiety through thanksgiving. Life is how you look at things, by looking at the Lord. So live life looking at God in all things through the lens of thanksgiving. You ever notice the way we have it in modern writings, a parenthetical statement? You know, there's a parenthesis bracket, I guess you would say, on both sides of a phrase or maybe a word or a clause. Sometimes can be pretty long. It's part of a broader paragraph or a sentence. And what if you left it out? What if you blacked it out and passed it on? Or what if you used an ellipsis and left out that parenthetical statement? You could really misrepresent the meaning of that sentence as a whole or a paragraph as a whole. The parenthetical clause is extremely important to pay attention to. It gives context, it qualifies, it gives understanding to the sentence and paragraph. Well, that's what we have with Paul here. A parenthetical statement. So you can ask yourself this. It's not helping. Prayer's not helping. I tried that. It's not working. I'm still anxious. I'm still upset. Nothing's changed. Well, what's the missing ingredient then, does Paul say? You left out the parenthetical statement. You forgot to use the spoon. You're not looking, you're not praying through the lens that makes this work. What's the missing ingredient if prayer's not working for you? Thanksgiving. You're not thankful. And that's why nothing's happening for you. You're missing the attitude of gratitude. That's the parenthetical qualification Paul gives us. Pray with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 4, verse 4 says, nothing is to be refused if it be received with what? Thanksgiving. You could turn around and say, nothing should be received. Everything should be refused without thanksgiving. It ought to be in our homes. We never eat. No one is fed without first giving thanks. Remembering that, give us this day our daily bread, teaches us to be praying that God would grant us a competent portion of the good things in this life and that we would enjoy his blessing with it. And that we wouldn't be like those Tasmanian devils in Numbers who are given the quail. And even as they're feeding their faces, it's with anger and resentment and bitterness at God and his minister who just provide for them. We want to actually be having our food this week thankful. We want to be eating on Thanksgiving Day after the service thankful for this abundant food. I mean, we were even just when we were traveling overseas, we often said as a family, we have a good, not only that, we have a good in Southern California, especially for healthy food. You know, we were really missing our normal diet because it's really hard to get certain places. And we're just like, we often say, I'm just so thankful we have such access to all of this good food and healthy and safe food. You know, let's not forget how good we have it. The way to pray is to praise, or don't bother, or you're not doing it. The way to pray is to praise. And so that's why so many times I find just reading the Psalms or sometimes just going straight to and singing the Psalms helpful for my prayer life. Because they help me say those words, and you know what they often say? Thank you, God. I praise you. I thank you. And then it gives a lot of words to use to explain why and to focus and teach us, even in the singing, about why we should be so thankful to God, that we'd have a heart of thanksgiving to God. If you approach God without thanks, beloved, it's just going to be ineffective. It won't be righteous. It won't be effectual prayer. If you're going to approach God without thanks, because you're starting wrong, just like I think we talked about it in the harvest feast, if your children ask for more of something and they didn't thank you at the first time for what you gave them, a good parent says, what do you say? Or even when we were at Costco yesterday, I was a little bit, because the lady said, what do you say to my kids when they were getting a free snack, which we enjoy, as you know. Yeah, we shop too. We went there to, as you know, snack and then might as well get some shopping done while we're there. And we're always thankful and happy to go there. But she said, what do you say? And I think I understand why. My kids always say thank you. And I said to them, I don't want anyone to ever have to tell you to say thank you. And they said, Dad, we tried. I was just about to. She was quick, you know. But I noticed certain of the people that recognize us, I think they pick up because the kids and I are always really thankful. And what do you ever notice this? Like a lot of people come in and out, they cut in front of you, and they never say thanks. And I've noticed some of the people serving are, and so they tend to say, like, these people were here first. Like they recognize this attitude. And I'm not wanting to say anything great about us. It's just it has that effect. Right? They want to give you more. And, you know, the children are not going to get anything. I won't let them take a snack if they don't say thankful. I'll take a snack right out of their hands and their mouth if they don't say thank you. Don't you dare bite the hand that feeds you, let alone even acknowledge, be unwilling to acknowledge there was a hand there. The mighty hand of God is feeding us, and we need to be thankful before we ever ask for something else. Oh, dear Lord, I have all these things making me worried and anxious. If that's how we approach God in prayer, maybe we don't get anywhere with it because we didn't first say, I thank you, God, that although all these things are happening, here I am on my knees in a warm, comfortable, safe bedroom. I remember to thank you for all my blessings, Psalm 103, one by one. That's why we're taught in prayer we should first start with A, adoration, and then C, confession, before we ever get to S, supplication. But what comes before that? T, thanksgiving. See, we don't really get to the rest usually. All we can start with is S, and how much we're suffering. And that's not to make light of those things. And sometimes that might be the impetus God uses to get us to pray. But let us be thankful even for that. All things giving thanks. Even the evil things, as hard as they are. Remembering Romans 8:28 teaches us that all things are working together for your good, for you who love God, called according to his purpose. But then verse 29 makes it really clear, what's the purpose of those difficult things? What is the good he's actually doing for you? Conforming you more to the image of Jesus Christ. That's your ultimate good. That's really your only good. So even in the heaviest difficulties that we have to bear up under, we can thank God. We can rejoice, he says, and rejoice again. We can thank God, as James says, let patience have its perfect work. How much are you thanking God for giving you lessons to learn to be patient? Or are you impatient for the process? Then you're unthankful for all he just did for you. It starts with gratitude. It happens through gratitude. It ends with gratitude, or it's not real and there's nothing there. If you approach God without thanksgiving, though you truly shall not want, you will ever find yourself wanting. Though you are never lacking, you will always find yourself lamenting because you're ungrateful for what you have. Ultimately, God has your exceeding great reward. You got to have the heart of Psalm 73. I don't want anything other than you in heaven or earth. My heart and flesh fail me, but you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You don't need anything else but God. You have to start with God. You have to go with God. You have to walk with God. You have to end with God. And the fact that God is even talking to you or walking with you should make you say, what? Thank you. Thank you for noticing me. I have plenty of people in my life that will barely talk with me. Won't walk with me. Thank you, God, wherever I go, there you are with me. Thank you for calling me from the foundation of the world. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. You should send me to hell. I shouldn't have a morsel of food, yet alone a huge turkey in my refrigerator waiting for me. I'm not worthy of the least of all your mercies. And I have the blood of the everlasting covenant. What more do we need to be thankful? And if we can't be thankful for that and start with that, we're just going to continue to be anxious and we'll never bother about prayer, let alone prayer that takes us anywhere. If you are not thankful in your prayers, you are not pleasing to God in your prayers. Thus, ultimately, you're really not pleasing yourself. That's why you go away empty and still anxious. Because you're ungrateful. That's the thing, watch out for. A person that can't say thanks, a person that's ungrateful, watch out. Watch out. Going to be discontented all the time. You won't be pleased if God's not pleased. On the other hand, gratitude will give you a good attitude. Look at the effect of what is to affect us, verses 7 through 9. If you can approach God with gratitude and thanksgiving, look at what it will do to you, how it will affect you, what the effects will be in you. Verses 7 and 9, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Rather, verses 7 and 9. Notice that. Peace of God passeth all understanding. I always think of this. I teased Elder Renner Tuesday night in the men's study. I can't think of this verse without him because he brought to my attention. When I would speak of it quickly off the cuff, I would always leave out the word all. And I'm glad he brought that to my attention because now I especially think of the word all. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Be careful for nothing. With thanksgiving, let your request be known to God in everything. Well, how can I do that? Because God will give me thus peace that passeth all things. You don't have to have your life figured out, beloved. Let me tell you something. That's been ministering to me. You don't have to have a clue. You just have God and gratitude. And you're good. You're golden. You're golden. If you can just be glad for today for God. He gives you what? Peace. His peace. Peace that Jesus says, I give, but you can't get it in this world. You only have it by trusting in him to save you from hell and promise you eternal life and a good life now on the way in him, though not without persecution. But if it's persecution, it's a proof that it's real. Only more reason to thank God. Thank you for persecution. You're showing me it's real. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You approach God with gratitude, and he gives you his peace by giving you more of himself. Draw near to God, and he will draw nigh unto you, James says. There's no one that's going to give you peace like God. It is otherworldly. It is supernatural. And thus it can only be had through prayer. And it only can be had through prayer, which is through grace. Notice further its effect. Notice what it'll do in you. You have a grateful attitude, an attitude of gratitude. You have a good attitude for the rest of life, come what may. Verses 11 through 13, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So you can do this. And you have to do this. But see, when you approach God with gratitude and prayer, so that you're not nervous about nothing, or that you're nervous about nothing, then what happens is you're good with everything. I mean, Paul, he knows what he's talking about. He says, no, I'm serious. Follow what I'm taught. Do what you're seeing me do. And then you're going to have what I have. Such as I'm writing to you in prison at the moment. Right? Remember another message, let your sadness bring others gladness. Then he starts to give more to you. Focusing on Jesus and serving him. Another second, yourself third. This is God's will for your life. It's the effect, though, of verse 6. The verse 6, the important part that makes it, brings it all together, is thanksgiving. But you get everything because of that. All of those things are the effect of that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks. In every evil thing, as well as every good thing. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will for you, church. There's only one other verse like that in the New Testament, similarly spoken. Your sanctification. God's will is that you be sanctified, and God's will is that you be grateful. Which is why if you're going to pray to him, make sure you're praying with gratitude. Or what would you actually expect him to give you in answering your prayers? Same thing with sanctification. You don't want to be growing in holiness. You don't want to try to obey him. Well, then why would you think he would help you with this or that in your life when you can't be bothered to live your life for him? If you can't be bothered to thank him for how he blesses your life, Why would he want to talk with you in the same way that he will if you start with, "Thank you, Jesus"? It is God's will for you that you give thanks in everything. Thus, may you leave singing again on your hearts Psalm 69, verse 30, that you sang just before this message. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. How do we magnify God? Thanksgiving. Giving of thanks, praise, worship. Which is why it just continues to marvel us, does it not, of how many have no interest in corporate worship or the Sabbath day and expect us to believe they're Christians, but they have no interest in coming to thank God and praise him. And all the things they're worried about trying to secure is their excuse why. And they can't recognize that all those things are killing them, and many of them they never get. Because you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then he gives you all things. Beloved, may we both say, I will magnify him with thanksgiving. If I'm actually coming here to magnify him, well, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. How do we do it? Thanksgiving. Giving of thanks. So this Thursday, we have a Thanksgiving service. Recognizing the nation's call on us, at least as originally thought of, was to come and give thanks to God for preserving our nation through great difficulties. To come to thank God for preserving our church through great difficulties, and our families and our people through great difficulties. Beloved, come prepared to praise him. The directory for the public worship of God, the section in it that we're referring to today is called Concerning the Observation of Days of Public Thanksgiving. And it starts like this. When any such day is so to be kept, let notice be given of it and of the occasion thereof some convenient time before, that the people may the better prepare themselves unto. After private preparations. He goes on to say, then here's how the service should go. Okay, beloved, we're having a Thanksgiving service this Thursday, 10 a.m., on the occasion of thanking God for the continual protection and provision of our nation through great difficulties. Here at this church, you have been given notice, you've been given the reason why and when. The time before. Now, I'm telling you ahead of time why, so that you prepare yourselves for this service. How many years have you come to Thanksgiving service? How many years have you had a Thanksgiving meal? I challenge you, I challenge myself to come this Thursday different than we ever have. You know, every year when it's Thanksgiving, I don't have the whole, I got to get an extra Christmas service together, or all those things. But every year when November comes, like, I got to get an extra message for the Harvest Feast. I got a third sermon to preach now this week, Thanksgiving. And I can tend to treat it like I can at least start with the attitude, I just got to get it done. And I covenant with you that I am going to approach it very carefully this year and not have a care for the busyness around it. I'm going to be thankful that we have a Thanksgiving service. I didn't grow up with one. I'm going to be thankful that we come first to praise God and experience his blessings when we first come, like the one leper, to say, "Thank you, Jesus." If we want anything else to be changed in our nation and in our churches, should we not start with a national day of thanksgiving for all that God has done for us in our Judeo-Christian heritage? People, may you better prepare yourselves through your private preparations for this Thanksgiving service, because if you don't come with gratitude, you will worship him with your lips, but your hearts will be far from him. And nothing will change. Nothing will happen in you. You'll go away empty because you used his name in vain, as you would then stuff your faces with the quail or the turkey, as it may be, still bitter and worrying about everything going on. Instead, beloved, take the opportunity with this Thanksgiving service this Thursday to prepare to be thankful. Again, this is the message for you to take home and to do something with. Prepare to be thankful. Let us pray. Oh Lord in heaven, we do confess again that we are often so ungrateful and we are shamed by it. We recognize how often we are worried and anxious and upset, and then we make foolish decisions. We say foolish things out of a knee-jerk reaction to the fact that we haven't gotten on our knees. Instead, we've been pacing the room and wrenching our hands. And if we do get on our knees, it's quick and careless because we're careful for everything but you. Let us have a care for you, O Lord. Let us take advantage of this Thanksgiving season. Let us truly be thankful. Let it be about God. Let it be about Jesus. And even as we do approach the meal and the day afterwards, may we be seeking to have extra thanksgiving. May we spend more time talking about things we're thankful for, reminiscing and remembering what to be thankful for from you. May we spend more time in a devotion with our family, singing more psalms together, where we might even miss a football game because we were so distracted with Jesus, and devoting ourselves to him, thanking you. We never, ever walk away from family worship and devotions that are truly heartfelt and wholehearted, regretting the time. We go different, we feel better, and we have the great blessing that you conform us more to the image of Jesus Christ. So we do lift up our eyes to him, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we lift up all the prayer requests we have made, Lord, with the giving of thanks for how you have answered so many prayers. And often things we didn't even think to ask for. So many things we have. So many blessings we have in you. And we inherit the earth and all things in Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. We thank you for his precious blood. We thank you for our like-minded precious faith. We thank you for providing for us. It almost seems miraculously for our budget surplus again this year. We thank you for providing visitors, many this year, some still with us driving long distances. Bless them for coming to worship you today, Lord. Let us be thankful for one another. Let us remember one another. If we are to beg you to add to our numbers daily such as should be saved, let us begin to thank you for those who are here, constantly giving thanks to you with us. Let us be thankful for our brethren, should we expect you to grow the family. Let us begin with gratitude, O Lord. Let it be deep in our heart. Let us be so thankful we can't help but smile. Let people find us distracted, like we're thinking and looking at something else. What's on your mind? Jesus will be our answer. Grace, everlasting grace, plenteous mercy for Israel. Your mercy endureth forever. So may we ever be praising and thanking you for it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, before we receive God's blessing to end our service, we will sing together on page 259, Psalm 117. Page 259, please stand.
La 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 la. Oh, give ye praise unto the Lord, all nations that be. Likewise, ye people, all accord, his name to magnify. For great to
Now, beloved, may you sing with the angels and the elders in heaven. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.